You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Win on three, one, two, three. Win.
Hey, Bills Mafia, we know there's one thing on your mind every day. Your team, the Buffalo Bills. So Matt Bobe and Sal Capaccio are here to bring you the latest news, notes, and opinions straight from the source right here, right now. Because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Welcome to a special edition of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove here at St. John Fisher University. And Matt, we have a very, very special guest joining us on the pod.
Well, it's a Hall of Famer. We have a Hall of Famer now. How many Hall of Fames are you in?
A handful.
When you have more than one Hall of Fame that you're in, I feel like that's like very upper tier elite status.
I'm not sure what it means, Matt, to be honest. I'm always honored if they put me in anywhere, I'm happy that I'm in.
Well, Pete Welly joins us here. He is the president of business operations for the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres. We had a lot of topics we want to discuss with Pete, so we're going to get right into it here at St. John Fisher University, the last week of training camp for the Buffalo Bills before they head back. The return of the red and blue, and it's stadium week, Pete. I mean, we have been talking about this stadium for years, and now it's finally here. Tell us a little bit about the preparations, what you have planned, and how excited you are for Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long road. Obviously, it's a massive project, and to think about people coming in there really for the first time, a lot of people on August 8th to see the building, see how it functions, it's going to be hard to put into words. I think seeing it through the fans' eyes is going to be really cool. But then also, you know, operationally, just making sure everything is exactly the way we hoped it would be. There's so many different pieces. Like there's traffic control and ingress, egress and technology and game presentation, how it works for the football team, how it works for the fans. It's going to be fun to see all that, but it's still a lot of work. You know, we're going to come back, recap what happened. I'm sure there'll be a number of things that we have to work on, but it's going to be cool to get that first big project under our belts.
What are the emotions? You nervous? You excited? What's the combination of everything?
Just a lot of anticipation. Yeah. I think, you know, I wouldn't say nervous. I mean, everyone's kind of ready for the moment. We've done a number of tests. We feel really good about it, but you know, the first punch list I saw, there was over 20,000 items on it. So, you know, I say there's still work to be done. There's work to be done. We could play a football game in there tomorrow, but it's going to be a process of getting through these first four events in August, getting the opener, getting through the season. And it's one of those things that it won't be completely done probably until the end of the season at some point, but really happy where it's at and feel really good about it.
And I was talking with some of your tech guys who were explaining to me how the NFL has to also come in and make sure everything works from their process. It's not just the Bills. It's not just the fans. It's not just all those things we think about. It's everything on game day that has to go through the league, the camera operations, the replays, all the headset operation. All of that has to be adhered to.
Yeah, I think more than people could ever really
comprehend.
So there's a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes, but very confident in our staff. They've done a great job. It's really rewarding. You know, it's the biggest construction project in the history in Western New York. It's 1.6 million square feet. Obviously, the owner and Kim and Terry have put their heart and soul into this thing to kind of see it finally come to fruition. It's going to be a special day.
What is your favorite part about the stadium?
I don't know if I have one. I mean, you know, you when you go into the club areas, you kind of would expect, hey, it's a stadium that meets a Ritz-Carlton,
right?
Or a Four Seasons. It's unbelievable. But it doesn't matter where you are. The seats where most people sit, those concourses are so spacious now. There's radiant heat everywhere. There's a ton of places to go in and getting food and beverage, or if you want, you know, if you want to go in and find some retail spaces to hang out. And it's just such a different environment than the old building. I think you guys know as well as anyone, when you hit the quarter mark or the half mark, you couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You could barely get out of your seat.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to walk around, if you want to go see friends, it's just going to be just a little bit more kind of like a collaborative type environment where, you know, people are talking about, hey, what's tailgating be like? What's this experience going to be like? I can tell you one thing. The experience inside the building is going to be second to none in professional sports. And I know our fans are going to love it.
All right. So you go from having this whole buildup to suddenly Saturday night, you have the open practice return of Red and the Blue. Following week, there's a preseason game, another open practice, another preseason game. You got a lot of things coming up here in a short period of time. And with that comes tickets, availability.
Yeah.
The PSL holders who had a chance and have a chance to go in on Saturday, and then you scheduled another open practice on August 18th.
Yeah.
I'll just give you a general open question to explain what the process was, why you guys arrived at that particular situation to have that practice.
Yeah, well, first of all, having four events in August couldn't be more perfect. I mean, we need these different opportunities to test every aspect of that building, and now we've got them in different types of events too to do it. So I feel really great about being ready for the actual home opener when it happens. Well, we knew demand just from the PSL process, right? Yeah. We sold through the PSLs. We've got a waiting list of almost 20,000 people. We know demand is there. So it didn't matter what it was, but starting with the blue and red, those tickets were going to go. So they've always gone to season ticket holders first. They just typically haven't claimed them, which left a lot left over for the general public. We knew that was going to happen. So as we were even planning this, again, it's well over a month ago, we said, what are we going to do? How do we get the general public into this? We've been talking about getting people into it. We've got to live up to that. We've got to make sure people can experience the building. So the thought was, let's go see Joe. And let's go see if he wants to get on the grass and if he's interested in doing something else. So I didn't know exactly what the event was going to be, but he offered up a practice on the field. And that's perfect.
Yeah.
And that's like taking a training camp practice and bringing it into that stadium and allowing 50,000 people to go to it. So, you know, PSL holders would be in there first. They can check out their seats, get a feel for the building. And then the general public will have an opportunity to experience it as well. So I'm excited. I can't wait to see the feedback. And it's been important to us through this entire process. We said this is built for Buffalo. How do we find price points to get people in? How do we find opportunity to get people in? And probably the one thing I'm most proud of is over 70% of the people that were in the old building are coming to the new building. And that's the highest conversion rate that Legends has ever had on any project they've done. So it clearly worked.
So let me ask you, and we've talked about this a couple of times. What was it, 23 minutes it took for all of those tickets to be accounted for, which is insane. You just said the 70% conversion rate is the highest Legends has ever had. There will still be a percentage of the fan base that feels like, oh, I've been priced out or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the way of framing this is, but what would you say to somebody who still feels that way?
I mean, look, the economics of pro sports, not just us, they're just changed across the board. There's more and more stadiums that have PSLs. I can't imagine there'll be another stadium that comes online that doesn't have them.
Right.
You know, that would surprise me. So we just tried to be really thoughtful about that exercise, and it was never going to be perfect.
Yeah.
There's people who probably sat in certain seats that maybe didn't get the same seats in the new building, but they're certainly in there. And the dynamics have changed considerably, right? And you're trying to be competitive with other teams around the league. And we finally got this state-of-the-art building in Buffalo. So we tried to do it the right way. Again, it wasn't going to be absolutely perfect, but again, I think we're proud of the work we put into it and how it turned out and the fact that a lot of people got in. Mm-hmm. And we'll keep finding opportunities. And again, it's not just going to be a football stadium.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a lot of events that come in there. So there's going to be things that other people can attend as well.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, Kansas City is getting a new stadium. So is Cleveland. I've heard from my colleagues,
Washington,
who've asked me, hey, what's the PSL process? Because we're about to enter that particular area. Yeah. And they're wondering, we're giving them our feedback from here. You're right. That's going to happen.
Chicago, I've talked to every one of those teams. Every one of those teams has called us and talked to us about the process. What
Nashville,
worked,
right?
Yeah. What didn't work? Yeah. How do you know? How can we help? Can we talk to your people? Can we have a conversation about how to make things even better for us? And we've been an open book. Anything we can help them with, we will. Because, again, it's an interesting process, especially when you haven't done it before, especially when you're in a smaller market. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you one thing. Our numbers were nothing like what people are going to experience in those stadiums.
All right. So that said, because you just said it's not just a football stadium, mm-hmm. and you're also going to be the newest stadium in the country for a little while, you're going to have opportunities for other events. What are you exploring right now? We've gone, you know, we've had a lot of different imaginations from people out there, what you could do, what you can't do. Where are you in the process of figuring that out? What can you tell us about future events?
Yeah, you guys have probably heard me say this before. Everything's on the table because we do want that to be a destination. We want it to be busy as many days a year as we possibly can have it be. And, you know, it's football first. So we had to get through this offseason. We really didn't want to have a concert in the stadium this summer that could or event that could potentially disrupt what was going on with the opening and getting that building set up. So we started to pivot and start focusing on next offseason. And those conversations are going really well.
Okay.
Any event you can imagine, we already have, I can't really disclose what they are, but we have a number of concerts, high-level concerts that will pack that facility already set up for next year. So you can anticipate multiple concerts in there. You know we're talking to the NHL about the stadium series. You know we're talking to the NFL about the draft. We're talking to any collegiate event you could potentially think about. So there's going to be a number of events in there. I would expect the first summer, a lot of concerts, and then we'll start moving into some other events as we go forward.
What's your dream event? AFC Championship. Okay, next. I mean, next. I know the answer to that.
It's not team related.
What is like the thing that you would love to see?
I think the NFL draft. There's just there's not many events that are bigger, and I know the economic impact it'll have on Buffalo. I know it'll be a really unique environment. I think it'll. We've seen them other places. If you don't know Buffalo, you don't understand what our fan base is like. And to have an event like the draft when they're so into football and that huge tailgating culture, I think. That would be the absolute perfect event, and we really check every single box.
What would a draft look like in Buffalo? You've seen these other places do it with the surrounding communities involved. Mm-hmm. Some things are at the stadium. Some things are not at the stadium. I know you're in preliminary stages, but how does that look to you?
Yeah, we had to submit an expression of interest to the league, and they start looking for some initial details on what that would look like. And really excited about how it could potentially set up. You know, the old stadium's in the process of coming down. Mm-hmm. We're ahead of schedule there. We'll have that entire footprint to utilize potentially. But then there are great areas. I think people forget about how nice downtown is. And we finally saw what could happen at the waterfront with how the Sabres performed last year. So that was a great indicator of, okay, yeah, we probably can do something there that would be interesting to the league. And then you've got places like Niagara Falls, and we're always trying to pull Canada and Toronto into this as well. So, you know, I would expect it would be a wider footprint probably than most markets would do. But so far, it seems like the NFL is really interested in that. And it's really cool how it's laying out, and there's a lot of potential iterations. But so far, it's looking really good.
Okay, let me ask you, when the new stadium starts to get built, I think everybody starts to respond to us, at least on social media, about some of the things that they want to see. You just brought up how you think there's going to be a bunch of concerts there next summer. One of the things that was actually just brought to my attention was that wrestling, you know, Buffalo's a pretty big wrestling, professional wrestling market. Mm-hmm. And this weekend was SummerSlam. That's like their second biggest event that they do. There's WrestleMania and then there's SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania is in the winter. That's not going to work for Buffalo. Could SummerSlam be feasible? Is that like a type of events that you guys would be open to?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think as creative as we want to be, if somebody can dream it up, it's something we would probably attempt to try to execute.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a great event. I can't think of something that wouldn't fit. Right. We even talked about soccer. I mean, it's not
friendlies fit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think anything we've talked about, again, we talked about lacrosse. And then we've also got the arena at our disposal. That's where we're really, really fortunate as a market. You know, when you've got an owner that has both teams and you've got a facility in the suburbs like we have with the stadium now, and then you have one downtown like the arena, there's so many different options for us to put events on. There's almost nothing that we can't host right now.
Can you clarify what you can and can't do with soccer? Because I know there's some field dimension situations there.
It is dimensional. If you're going to pay a regulation soccer game that has – you know, legitimate impact,
right?
It would be difficult to host it there right now. If you play a friendly where maybe the dimensions aren't as important, we could absolutely do that. So we'll look into what those options are and start having conversations and see how kind of wide we can get with that.
Okay. So obviously when everything happened with the red and blue and then you created the new practice, mm-hmm. there was also a feedback from people who said, wait a minute, I'm supposed to have right to get in that stadium as a PSL holder. Mm-hmm. And as I pointed out on other people, that's not necessarily the case. There are events where that will not happen. Yep. Can you let people know and understand how the process works for when PSL holders have the first right to their ticket, when they don't in those particular events?
Yeah, I mean, if it's a legitimate ticketed NFL football event, Bills related event, PSL holders obviously are going to get their seats. That's yep. the way it's going to be. If there's outside events, most of them, the majority of them, and whenever we can do it, we're going to get the PSL holder first right of refusal on those seats. There are events where a promoter may come in, a league may come in, and they might dictate terms a little bit. And then we're going to have to make a decision on can we live up to what we need to on the PSL side, or is an event that's valuable enough that we still want to bring it in because it means a lot to Buffalo, where maybe it wouldn't work like that. So it's going to be a little bit case by case, but obviously from a PSL perspective, they're going to get all the Bills events, and then anything that we can do beyond it, we'll try to provide whenever we can.
I have like two more yeah. kind of niche stadium questions, but I know we also want to talk about development in the area. The first one being, you brought up the symmetry with Canada. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that we hear a different national anthem mm-hmm. along with the Star Spangled Banner before Buffalo Bills games?
You know, look, you guys are as familiar with, and as anybody with what we do, at Sabres games. And yes. You saw the reaction to that when
yeah.
Cammy Clooney had a little yes. bit of an issue with her mic.
Mm-hmm. We had to educate everybody on why we know the Canadian anthem in Buffalo.
I'm surprised that more people didn't know about it, to be honest. But it was this really incredible kind of emotional moment. And it showed you what Buffalo is all about. Like they stepped up and they're picking up Cammy, and they're also supporting the neighbors to the north. Like that was a really cool moment. So, I mean, that's something that we're looking at doing. Mm-hmm. There's some technical issues, especially with television and how you kind of do that and when you do it. So So you have to do it the right way. But I can tell you one thing, for the opener, it's something we definitely want to do. And if we can do it more consistently, we will.
That's really cool. My second question, a little bit niche, but that's okay. I know this is coming out on Wednesday. By then, I do not know if we will know what the field looks like, right? Mm-hmm. For this upcoming season and for whatever you guys are doing. Do you know what it's going to look like? What color the end zones are going to be? What we're going to see at the middle? How big the Buffalo logo is going to be? The Bison's logo? Excuse me. The Bills logo? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's just that stuff that people are interested in.
Yeah, I do know. I'm not prepared to disclose anything on it at the moment. But what I will say, because just to manage expectations, we're going to work our way up to it. So, I wouldn't anticipate something crazy dramatic, right? It's not going to be a massive change because there's a lot of rules relative to how you can set the field up in the first place. And it is a grass field. So, you know, mm-hmm. if you get too creative, it could impact how often you're maybe changing the sod mm-hmm. in the end zones, for instance. But we're going to work our way up to it. So you'll see some things at the open practice and the preseason games that won't necessarily reflect what's going to happen for the opener.
Okay, so that's good. I'm glad you clarified that because I do think that a lot of people would have said like, oh, this is what it looks like. And maybe it'll be pretty bare. So I think maybe we would assume that, but I'm glad you clarified.
Nobody panic.
Okay.
Nobody panic if they don't see what they want early on.
Okay. You mentioned the former stadium. It's coming down. We're mm-hmm. seeing the videos. What is the timeline on that? And what do you plan on putting in that space once it's down?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's pretty public where we're at right now and the building coming down. Yeah. I've seen a lot of videos about it. It was scheduled contractually to be down by March of 27. So we're way ahead of that pace. So I would expect it to be down in advance of that and then start looking long-term about what we want to do with it. So we're gonna flatten it first and hopefully we'll be able to use it short term, maybe to alleviate some of the parking concerns, but then start working on an overall master plan for the entire property. Because, you know, early on in the process, it's not like we hadn't contemplated development there. It just, we weren't at a point where we could really talk about it. Right. And now that the building's basically coming down, we of course want it to be a destination and we're out looking at what other teams have done and maybe what the right fit for that area is. We have to work closely with, you know, the state, for instance, on a project like that too. So it takes time to develop what it is, but you know, we are kind of finalizing what the long-term vision would be. And we do want it to be a campus and we do want it to be a year-round destination. I can say that much.
Where do you draw inspiration from that? When you were building the stadium, I know the common thing that people brought up was, oh, look at Tottenham and the trips that you guys took over there.
Yeah.
Is there a different NFL stadium or just stadium in general where you go, ooh, I think that could work from a surrounding area standpoint here in Orchard Park?
There's a few. I think the inspiration can come from another number of areas, and I don't think you want it to be exactly like anyone else. But I would say, you know, we've been to Green Bay, and Titletown is a pretty good comp for the type of things we want. I mean, you want to tweak it and make sure it's specific to Buffalo, but, you know, when you talk about retail opportunities, mixed use opportunities, you know, Bills related Hall of Fames, like there's a number of things you can do. Again, not ready to commit to exactly what that would be, but, you know, look, we're seeing it now. There's people all over that property, and the only thing really open right now is the Highmark Trail. Mm-hmm. And people are there walking around. So when Family Circle opens up and the Highmark Trail is there, and people are going to want to tour the stadium and the store is there, there's going to be a tremendous amount of activity even with just that. So if we can expand upon it, I'm highly confident, and this has become a pilgrimage for people. And, you know, yeah, it is a smaller stadium, and it is a little bit more difficult to be in, get into on game day, but you can still come down and experience what it's like to be there during the off season. So we'd like to create an environment that's conducive to that.
On cue, the church bell's going on during the podcast. It's always game
day. Is that a good sign?
Yeah, Pete Quell is here, president of business operations for the Bills and Sabres. Okay, Highmark Trail. Some people don't know what that is. What is Highmark Trail, and how can people use Highmark Trail when they go towards the stadium?
Yeah, it's a 1.7 mile trail that really circles the entire stadium, and there's a number of like areas of demarcation as you kind of walk through it with history around Buffalo and music and all kinds of things to interact with. A lot of that stuff is kind of being refined right now and is not done yet. But when it's done, it's the kind of thing where we hope you'll come in and go to the Family Circle, walk around, look at all the monuments and see the players, take a walk with the family, maybe a couple times swing by the store. But it's another opportunity to be in the building and just interact with what's going on in that stadium and just go down there and be part of it. And again, feel pretty confident that people are going to take advantage of it because they already are.
It should be like Disney World, where the end of the path goes right into a store. Like when you get off an attraction and it goes right through the store.
Probably won't be that direct with it, Matt, but obviously we want people to come in when they come.
For you, the Bison statues were something that garnered a ton of attention, right? Everyone was talking about these statues. I took some time off, and then right before camp, I went out to Orchard Park, and I went and saw them. They're big. Yeah. They were bigger than I was anticipating, and I know that was a point of conversation. I also know the design of them was a topic of conversation. How do you feel that went? What has the feedback been like? And I know that they can really flex their muscles when it's dark, and you can light them up and add the smoke and all that other stuff.
I mean, incredibly positive. Yeah. You know, and look, that kind of stuff is subjective as well. Some people maybe wanted something more realistic. We wanted something, the design kind of reflected the forward-facing nature of the stadium and the future, and I think they came out great. And to your point, they're really, from a technology standpoint, incredibly advanced. There's a lot we can do with it. So we're talking about, hey, when we win, you know, what happens? How are they lit up? What's happening with the smoke? What's the timing of it? You know, do we wait for fans to kind of exit the stadium to interact with it? But overall, incredibly pleased with how it came out. It's drawing a lot of national attention. You know, and again, it's hard to get everybody on the exact same page about what it is, but I think now that people have seen it and on that platform, they're almost 30 feet high. So anybody that had any question about those things being massive, I think that's been answered. And when you see what they can do, it's hard to not be impressed.
All right, one more from inside the stadium for me. Food and beverage. When people get inside, what do they expect? Anything different this year? How it's been run in the past? I mean, obviously, the concourse is massive. You have the walk-in food and beverages, the concession stands that I've seen. That's obviously a staple of a lot of these newer stadiums around the league. But then once you get up there to grab food and beverage, what are we looking at?
I mean, everything's going to be different. So you got a new concessionaire in there. Legends is handling it. We've been done some testing. We've done some food testing as well and been really, really happy about the product. A lot of different offerings, a lot of different places to pick it up. Again, if you want to go in and out and just scan your card when you walk in and grab something and go, that'll be an opportunity. If you want something, I think, more specific, you'll be able to find that in the building. So more options than maybe people have experienced. And I think, to me, the most important part is the ability to get to it. You know, the lines at the old concession stands, the ability to go there in between quarters at the half, it was virtually impossible to get anything. If you came in earlier, maybe not. I think with the gates opening up, I think people are going to want to be in there earlier, and they're going to have opportunities kind of outside, inside the fence line, outside the stadium to get food if they want to get it. Once they get into their seats, the concession areas all over the place. And then the club levels are, I can't even really put it into context. The old clubs were, I don't even know if those were clubs, to be honest. Like what we have now is just really exceptional, and there's a lot of different food options in there as well.
Pretty spectacular. Any stadium topics that we did not touch on that you want to touch on?
Not that I can think of.
Actually, a ticket question. You said there's a waiting list for season tickets. Is there a rule about having single ticket availability. If someone is out there and goes, I just want to go to a game, I can't go, I live in a different state. Like, how does that work? Do they just have to go secondary market?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I mean, I see a lot of talk relative to the pricing of the tickets, and that's all driven by demand on the secondary market. I mean, we have a handful that we're going to be able to put out every year, but it'll probably be less than 1,000. And right now for the first game, I think we're doing 600 standing room seats. And we don't want to go too heavy there because, you know, people invested in these PSLs and we don't really want to challenge that experience with too many standing room tickets. So we need to see how it works. There may be a time if it functions really well that we can increase that. And I hope we can, because I'd love to give people an opportunity to come in and just get a ticket from a standing room perspective and be in there. But it can't be at the expense of the people who bought PSLs.
So we're kind of working through that. And sorry to interrupt you. Where's the standing room and how does that work if someone has a standing room? Or you just kind of walk around and find a spot?
Yeah, no, you'll have a spot.
Okay.
But, you know, you also can't really stop people from walking around the building. Which, again, is going to be interesting. We were talking about the blue and red earlier and the fact that we're going to have 50,000 plus people in that building. I don't know how many will actually be in their seats because they're going to be wandering the building, looking at everything and trying to get a sense of where everything is. So it's going to be interesting to see how that actually works out. But there will be a location that you're assigned to, but, you know, people will be able to walk around the building.
My father-in-law has basically had a standing room ticket for like 40 years. He has a season ticket, but he doesn't go to his seat because he's too nervous. So he just paces around the stadium. But now he's got a concourse that he can pace around. So at least he can watch the game. He doesn't just hear it anymore.
I have a lot in common with your father-in-law.
I would imagine that a lot of Bills fans feel the exact same way. All right, you want to get to the jersey?
Let's do it.
All right, Pete, you guys revealed the jersey last week. We've had several conversations about the jersey. I know I said I was not a fan initially of the design and everything. We had a really productive conversation about that. I guess my question to you is, 1 week later or a week and a half later, what has the feedback been like? What have you guys learned about this process? And just, why did you do this? Why was this the jersey that you guys ultimately went forward
with? First of all, I was really excited to be sitting here with a couple of design experts.
You know, they really know that industry
inside and out.
So this is a Peter Millar polo with a North Face windbreaker, for those wondering.
No, look, you know, like we said, design is subjective. I am completely comfortable with people's opinions when it comes to designs of uniforms, logos, helmet, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a thought on what it should be and candidly respect it because look, people have been Bills fans for a long time and some people like certain colors or certain designs and, you know, that's what it is. Everybody dresses differently too.
Yeah.
So they're going to have an opinion on it. So we just tried to be, you know, it's an alternate, right? So it's not meant to be anything that we currently have. There's also a number of kind of design restrictions as you're working through the NFL that you can and can't do. So you're kind of working through those parameters. You're working closely with the league and you're working closely with Nike. So I don't want anyone to be under the impression that this is designed in some sort of a vacuum. There's a lot of people looking and talking about these things.
Yeah.
So again, not unlike the Bisons, it was meant to be something different, something kind of forward looking. You know, we have a number of uniforms currently in our closet. That primary jersey or that primary uniform, you can a number of different iterations, almost any color flip we want to do with that jersey and uniform, we can do. And we do it, right? We do blue on white, white on blue, white on white, blue on blue, a lot of different options. We have a throwback in our closet right now. We got the color rush in our closet right now. We came out with the white jerseys last year, the rivalry uniforms. We've got those in there. So this was an ad that was meant to be different. So, you know, I think we're anticipating differences of opinions on it. And as we're looking at it in context, it's interesting. So we got a call from Fanatics last week that the number one selling jersey that they had the entire week was the Josh Allen alternate jersey. Of course, it's Josh Allen.
Yeah,
so
of course, that's going to happen. But interesting, the sales are pretty much on pace with the rivalry jerseys, which was the number one selling rivalry jersey in the NFL last year. And then you look at social media sentiment and look, I see it. And a lot of it's anecdotal. And I look at some of the posts that we put up and the positive sentiment on those is higher than we had for the rivalry jersey. So again, I'm not trying to diminish anybody's opinion. That is not the case at all. I think everybody deserves an opinion and it's definitely different. So we expected some people to, you know, weigh in on it, but that's just the rationale behind it.
I mean, hey, look, you're two guys here. We had differences of opinions. I like the jersey and uniform more than I like the helmet. He likes the helmet more than the jersey and uniform. I mean, you're not going to please everybody 100% of the time. I had said on the air, you know, if the Bills were going to do an alternate, I've always liked the black menacing look that these teams unveil. But I've since learned you can't do that. Yeah. Can you give us some of the rules on how that works?
Yeah, we spoke to the league, and black is something I think everybody would like to see. It's cool. You know, it's, again, that could be considered a forward-facing type uniform. What I was told specifically by the league is it's not part of your constitutional color palette, so you cannot use it. I'm like, okay, I'm not sure what that means, but if you guys say that's the case, then, you know, we're going to have to comply. So, you know, pivoted something that was obviously a little bit different.
Yep.
And this ran up. There's a couple things I really like about the jersey too. I mean, obviously the blue collar thing is something. The Go Bills on the inside of the collar is cool. And this is the first jersey we've ever had with a Bills logo actually on the front of the jersey. So almost like a crest.
Right.
And, you know, again, this is far from scientific, but I've seen some people here wearing the gray jersey, and I'll walk up and say, hey, what do you, you know, it's cool. I'm glad you bought that. What's interesting about it? They go, I like the way I can wear it with everything else I have. My gray is kind of a consistent color that you could wear. And, you know, I'm probably more consistent with outfits that people normally wear. And then, so we're working through some of the companion product now. And I think a lot of that stuff's going to be cool. And we're going to offer more and more of it as it goes on. And look, again, it's an alternate. We're going to wear it twice this season. I think when people see us run out on this, and, you know, hopefully we perform well in it, and, you know, anybody who doesn't like it will start to come around.
Do we know the two games yet, or are you going to reveal those later?
So our uniform schedule is going to come out on Wednesday.
Oh, like officially?
Official.
Okay. Oh.
So you'll have everything at that point in time.
Oh, come on.
Hey, but by the time, hey, people, when they,
shtick,
when they hear it,
because I can't break the jerseys anymore.
I know. Well, you broke the helmet, and I can confirm that you're right. We are going to wear that red helmet on Christmas Day.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Oh,
red with and with white jersey.
I don't want to get into the specifics of that, but you might be on the right track.
I think that'll work.
Again,
super
it's the
clean.
Same thing. We looked at that. We talked about when do we want to wear it? Do we want to wear it at home? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a good example. So, you clearly people like the red helmet, the reaction you get to it. So, last year, you know, we saw the reaction. We wore it for the last game. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw the reaction of that. People wanted more. So this year we moved it up in the rotation and put it on Christmas. And, you know, you could wear it at home, which would be cool.
Yeah.
But that'll probably be one of the widest viewed games we have all year. And
yeah,
it happens to be on a holiday. It's, you know, so I think more and more people are going to be able to see how it works. Let's see how it works with that uniform. There's no law that says we can't wear it more in the future. So it's not always going to get everything at once, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
So hand to God, you know, we just heard the church bells go off. Mm-hmm. So strike me if I'm lying here. I saw the gray jersey today and I said that I like how it looks more in person because it's the first time I'd seen it in person. And you brought up the point of like how you can dress it up. The person who was wearing it had on a blue hoodie under it. And I said, wow, it actually looks pretty sharp with the blue hoodie. I would imagine we see a lot of those like, you know what I mean? Like the players who wear the blue sleeves and everything. So I do understand what you're saying about the dressing it up. The only other jersey question I have is, how many more years do the rivalry jerseys, is that like a mandated thing that you have to wear those for a certain amount of years?
Yes, that, I don't know the exact duration, but that was a league driven process. So it's, you know, it's usually 3 or 4 years that you need to wear it for. You know, there's no limit. I mean, other, we have to wear it once and we have to wear it against an AFC East opponent.
Yes.
So you guys can probably start to narrow that down on when we might wear those jerseys.
So is it, but is it cyclical? Because I know the league unveiled them division by division at a time. Will there be then a point when it expires, you stop wearing them and then new teams are still unveiling them, or does it have to go all the way so every team has
one? I don't, again, I don't know the formal answer to that question, but I'd be very surprised if it had to go all the way through the entire program.
Okay.
I do know you know this though. Can you explain the different rules of how many uniforms in a year you can wear and helmets in a season you can wear?
Yeah, I can try. You know, we have 6 uniforms in our closet.
Okay.
You can wear 5 in any given season.
Okay.
Your primary, home and away basically count for 2.
Okay.
And then so you've got those other 3 that you can then wear for up to 4 games. So for us, it's,
I mean, that's you can, rivalry.
You can, right. You know, you got Robbie and you got altered for 2. So there's 1 more.
And a color rush possibly could be factored in.
Possibly
it'd
be
point,
color
right?
rush or throwback at that point in time. So we'll, you know, have the complete schedule on Wednesday, but that's how that process works. And from a helmet perspective, it's 3. And then we got a dispensation to wear the red. So we went to the league last year. Like, we weren't even allowed to wear the red. It wasn't really, it didn't fit within the numbers of wearing it. I think we told the league this is important. It's important to our fans, and they allowed us to wear it.
Gray, by the way, so people know, is part of the Bills' original colors, which is why it fits in that whatever thing you
the
said.
Constitutional color palette.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely. Why did you not, why did you go just the charge and no Buffalo on this particular helmet?
I think, again, it was a little bit of a flip, right? Put the Buffalo on the uniform, which is different. And the charge, you guys will see it reflected throughout the stadium.
Already have.
So it's, you know, it's average its own brand unto itself. And there's a number of areas where it's clear, like the charge bar, it's in the end zone. And there's a number of areas that's going to be integrated into the building as well. So it matches, again, with the design of the stadium and some of the things we're trying to do there.
Okay. Training camp questions. You got anything else on the jerseys?
No, I'm good on uniforms.
Training camp, we're here in Rochester. We're now closer to the end of training camp in the Rochester portion of it than the beginning of it. I know that has been something that could be just the way the schedule fell. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Rochester moving forward? Is it going to be more days moving forward? And how long of a commitment do you guys currently have to be back at St. John Fisher?
Yeah, I mean, I feel great about Rochester. I mean, it's always going to be an important market to the Bills and, you know, again, combining those markets. And, you know, I can make an argument that, look, that stadium's not there, right? If Rochester, we don't have a city like Rochester to help support us. It's just really a function of how the schedule fell out. Mm-hmm. New coach, Joe did a lot of things in the spring. I think he looked at the schedule this year and this worked. And the other thing we're doing a little bit differently is once the blue and red hits, we're not going back.
Yeah.
Right.
So again, that's a tough transition, even for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went back there, we'd get everything pretty much moved in, set up, you know, play the blue and red, and then we'd be back on the throughway coming back down here again. That's a challenging transition. So it's something that Joe wanted to change this year. I mean, candidly, it's something I agree with. I think it was a good plan. It did lead to maybe a couple less days here at camp, but that doesn't mean that won't change in the future. The one thing I can tell you is with Terry and the president of the college the other day, and, you know, we're committed to Rochester. Everybody loves being here. It appears, right? It has a lot to do with our success. I think anytime, every year, there's going to be changes. There are going to be new people. You're trying to create that culture and that connection and that collaboration. And it's great doing it here. I mean, I can't at the stadium. I'm going back and forth. You know, you've got Sabres and everything else. You can't create the relationships there that you can when everyone's sequestered here, you know, on property in this building. So it doesn't matter if I'm working with, you know, Derek and Kevin, or if I'm working with the coaches or some people from my staff or the players. Like, it's just constant interaction 24/7, everybody kind of living together. And I, you know, everybody I've seen really enjoys it. And the vibe has been great. I wish the weather was a little bit better.
Yeah. Sure.
But everything else has been great this year.
Speaking of schedule, this just popped into my head too. We do have the Thanksgiving game at home this year.
Mm-hmm.
obviously the Bills have played on Thanksgiving three times in the last several years, Detroit, Dallas, and New Orleans.
Yep.
And every time we go to that game, I'll ask you, Matt, do you have Pete's got to come up with something to do at halftime.
Yeah.
Ah, you got an idea? Want to throw you away? I just thought about this.
I haven't even thought about it for a second, to be honest.
I just thought about that Thanksgiving game.
At halftime, I hope I'm awake. That's what I hope. I got kids now. Like, this is, I'm tired.
You have the opening on the Thursday night. We could talk about that. Any special plans for you? Have the Thanksgiving game, obviously, at home. This is in front of the country, new stadium, putting on a show. What's going to go into this and what kind of things you're thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, the opener is a big deal, obviously. Yeah. And we were at owners meetings in the spring and we got approached by every national outlet about wanting to carry that first home game. Yeah. And, you know, for Amazon won out, right? So I know it was important to the league and obviously they're a big partner. So they decided to put it on Amazon. And, you know, at first I was like, I'd maybe rather have that on a weekend. I think a lot of fans would. But, you know, as you start to think about it, we've got that stage to ourselves. Yeah. It's a huge game. Amazon has all these potential resources to put into it. So we're going through that process now to make sure that game presentation is leveled up and leveled up to the point where, you know, Amazon is going to want to pick up a lot of the things that we're doing.
Okay.
And again, it's all about Buffalo, right? We love the focus to be on Buffalo. We know numbers are going to be great. So I've kind of come to grips with being excited about the opener being on Amazon. And then for those primetime games, like, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, we're a good football team. And, and we have a lot of people like to watch us, and that's what's going to happen. But the Thanksgiving one is always a special week in Buffalo. We know all these people come back. They love to be back for the holidays with their family. And now you got a Sabres game on Wednesday, Bills game on Thursday, Sabres game on Friday.
Yeah.
I wish it was because I was smart. It's just the way it kind of worked out with the league. And we put some recommendations in, and, you know, they obviously granted us those games over the holidays. So that's a special time. There's going to be a lot going on. People are going to come in and they're going to see all the games. And you've got, you know, hopefully two highly competitive teams. And that's going to make for an even better holiday.
What a good transition to the Sabres.
Yeah, well, up until this point, legitimately, I would say, as somebody who's been around the Sabres for a long time now, obviously ending the drought changes things. You have playoff hockey back in Buffalo. The game stacked around Thanksgiving, there's more energy in that building than there is for
They're always fun. They've been fun anyways.
Anyway, right? That's what I mean. So now you've got a competitive team. You've got the Bills playing in the middle of it. So that feels like it really works out. How are things with the Sabres right now? Obviously, last year, I don't think it could have gone, I mean, besides winning a Stanley Cup, I don't know how it could have been better for you guys.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, I've told people, you know, that's probably one of the more rewarding things I've been associated with in my entire career. You know, to come in, and we had this 13-year drought when I got here, obviously not acceptable. Like, there's no reason that should happen, not in a hockey town like Buffalo. You know, we had a plan to really put things together and try to help turn this thing around. It's difficult to say how quickly sometimes it's going to manifest, but what I told Terry from day one, I go, Terry, look, I don't know what happened in the past. Doesn't matter. Let's just do everything in our power right now to get this turned around. And we obviously spent a lot of time and effort in the first year. We made some big changes in the second year.
Yep.
And, you know, everything kind of took off. And I think the thing that's kind of most exciting about it is the way the fans responded. I mean, I have not seen people come back that quickly.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Ro. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Ro. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Ro. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Name it, but 25 straight sellouts to end the season and the environment during the playoffs in that building, and to see everybody come back inside and outside the building and see the reaction on social media and people from all over the country. It was a little bit like Bills Mafia, you know, it was Sabres Mafia. It was activated everywhere. People who had left are now calling, wanting to come to Sabres games or wanted to catch them on TV. It was a really, really special season. But, you know, the big thing is now that we're trying to tell everybody in the building, like, that's the standard. There's right. No going back. Like, we have to build off of this. We have to remain competitive and do everything we can to give the fans the type of team that they deserve on a yearly basis. So it was a really special year. Again, no one's taking it for granted. We want to keep this thing going, and we'll do whatever it takes to make sure that happens.
What about season tickets? Have you seen a really big increase in demand with the product on the ice waiters?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I think last report I saw, I think we were three times as high as any team in the league for new season ticket sales.
Wow.
We're over 13,500 now. And to be honest, that first year I got there, there was a couple of games I was like, what is going on here? You know, even when not playing well, it wasn't a great environment. And I get it. People were disenfranchised and they didn't believe that things were going to get turned around. But as soon as they saw it, not only did they come back last year, they bought into the next year. So we're going to start this season the way we finished last season.
Yeah.
That's the kind of energy we'll have in the building. And that can carry your team. Like, that can help you get off to a better start. So yeah, I would expect those first bunch of games to be sold out. We know what's going on over Thanksgiving. So if we can kind of create some momentum and play well through December, the entire season should be like the way it ended last year.
New jersey for the Sabres. Any hints that you can provide?
Yeah, you know, honestly, Matt, I've found out that I said too much the first time. It's a league-driven initiative.
Okay.
So I think what they're doing is really cool. It's going to be fun to roll something out different.
Yeah.
They're taking a lead on it, so I don't want to steal their thunder, but you know, probably within the next couple of months, we'll have more specifics on that.
Okay.
The stadium is opening, but you have another arena that has been a lot of talk about improvements. You've done some things down there. What's on the horizon for KeyBank Center?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun to get in there and get under the hood the last couple of years and kind of determine, okay, what do we need to do down there? And the one thing, you have to work closely with the state and the county on these type of projects in the city. And so one thing that we've been saying from the beginning that I thought was important from the beginning is it has to be more than just about the arena. It has to be about the city and it has to be about Canal Side, because, you know, we can make changes to that arena. They could be spectacular. We can bring more people in. Mm-hmm. But if they come to the arena and leave, that's not really helping the city of Buffalo. So if we're trying to create like some real critical mass down there and do something special for the city, it's got to be bigger than that. So that's what we've been doing. We've making some minor tweaks over the first couple of years. We'll make a couple more this year, but we're looking at what that arena should look like long-term. So it really stands the test of time and it has the kind of impact on Buffalo that it should. So all the conversations have been going really well. You probably saw that the state put an RFP recently. obviously we were in dialogue with them as that was going on. And that was really happened because of the conversations about this being a bigger project than just renovating an arena. So we're now the stadium is ready to open up. And we've been doing some preliminary work on it. We'll start to focus on that. And I think you'll see that process start to speed up, you know, over the next 6 months to a year.
Okay, so next 6 months to a year, that process starts to speed up. So fair assumption. It's going. I don't want to say minor things, but it'll be, I guess, no, I will say minor renovations periodically up until maybe something more substantial.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense because if you're going to make drastic changes, how is that going to fit in the context of an overall design process that you want to have for that building? So we took care of some of the things that we needed to take care of the first 2 years, more minor things this year. But then flip the switch and look at big picture strategies on what that arena should look like and how it supports Buffalo.
All right, full disclosure, I'm an Odyssey employee, but people ask me all the time, do you have a timeline or any details on your radio where the games will land this year?
We're having those conversations now. And look, I have no problem saying this. Right. GR is the incumbent. You know, we've been with them for a long time. I think they really like and value the Sabres brand. And just because we did something with the Bills doesn't mean that's necessarily right for the Sabres. So we're in dialogue with them right now. Again, I don't know where that's going to net out, but, you know, it could very easily still stay with GR depending on where these discussions end up. I mean, the process with the Bills was, like, we weren't necessarily able to come to an agreement on value. And we had plans for how we wanted to expand that radio network. So once we got to that point, we're like, look, this is something I did in New York. We can bring this in-house. We can expand our network. And that footprint for a NFL property is a little bit different than it is for an NHL property. So we're having dialogue with leadership at GR, and I think there's a good chance it could end up back there again. And I can't commit to anything, but the door's open and we're having really good dialogue.
Now, how about the television broadcast side of things? Because for me, that's always something that I'm interested, honestly, more even as a consumer than as somebody who is in the profession, just because I watch every single game, right? So for the last year, it was you get the Gotham Sports app, you get a subscription. Mm-hmm. That is how you can watch. But I've argued that that might not be the most accessible option for somebody like my mother, let's say. I don't think she's getting a subscription to Gotham Sports and watching the Sabres game. Mm-hmm. She watches it when it's on TNT or when she watches it on somewhere else. Are the Sabres accessible enough on television, and what does the future of that look like?
I think, look, you can always be more accessible, and that's certainly our goal. Our relationship with MSG is still in place, and if you have cable, you know, that should pick up the vast majority of the games. You know, the league has started to lean into national broadcast more. So you see some of that. I think you saw MSG just moved our streaming service over to DAZN.
Yep.
And I have some experience with DAZN, and they did a nice job. So I'd expect the experience to be better for the consumers that end up getting it there. But I guess a short answer would be we're always looking for ways to expand it. You can pick it up on cable. You can pick up the streaming service. You're going to get the national game. So hopefully that's wide enough where people can see the majority of the content.
Okay. We do talk, Matt and I, quite a bit about the Sabres on the ice on this Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast, and sometimes go, people say, I'm a Bills fan. Some people go, yeah, more Sabres content. I'll ask you about on the ice, the moves Yarmo's made, some of the trades he made, the draft trade, obviously, Bowen Byram, you had Zellweger. What do you think about everything that he's doing in charge of the organization from the hockey side?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, Yarmo, he's been great since he's been in the building. You know, a guy with his level of experience, all the things he did in Columbus. He brings in Mark Bergevin, who was a GM for Montreal for 10 years and, you know, was a player. He brings in Josh Flynn, who was with him in Columbus for 20 plus years. And, you know, he's a great resource and really knowledgeable. I think putting a front office together to really build this out and look long term about sustainability for the team to be competitive, that's why all those things are happening. You know, basically when Yarmo came, it's like, it's your show. Like, run it. We want to get this thing turned around, and we want to continue to be good, and we want to challenge for championships. So that's what his focus is. And I think you see that reflected in the moves. You know, he locked up a couple of young guys early that were really important to what we're doing, and we know those guys are going to continue to improve. He's finding ways. If we can't get a deal done long-term with somebody, how do you replace that guy? Maybe with somebody younger who has more upside potentially. So he's always thinking about the future. And I thought he did a great job in the draft this year. I mean, ending up with the number 4 pick. You know, we went into that thing, we barely had a pick, and next thing you know, we end up with 4-20.
Yeah.
And so we've got a lot of great young pieces. Everybody from Terry to Yarmo to myself, we're really excited about the assets we have at our disposal. So, you know, you're not going to just build the team over the summer. There's a lot of things going on. And I can tell you, Yarmo is involved in every single conversation. I wouldn't rule anything out as far as he's concerned. So some things could happen now or they may happen closer to the trade deadline. But he's constantly looking for ways to refine the team and make it better and put us in a place to be competitive and build on last season. 109 points.
Right.
Pretty good year. Now you could, you could maybe have a few less points and go farther in the playoffs potentially. Sure. It's hard to say, but build something that's sustainable and build something that can challenge in the playoffs when it really matters.
Are you allowed to have a favorite player?
I don't think so. Not really. I mean, yeah. I literally like every player.
Yeah.
If you're on our roster, if you're our guy, I'm behind you. So it's we have a lot of guys that are really, I think, really fun to watch.
And yeah.
I always kind of lean towards the young guys because you haven't seen them and there's all this potential and you just want to see it unlocked and see them reach it. So when they're in the building and they're in the development process and you kind of get to know them a little bit, I probably lean in that direction.
Do you have a favorite player?
I mean, growing up, everybody's a kid. My guy was Mike Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, great defenseman, stayed home. Wins the gold medal. I go more towards what my son likes. My son is 12. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he was a J.J. Paterka fan, and he gets traded. He was a Dylan Cousins fan. He gets traded. So
Where is he now?
And his new guy is Yuri Kulik. He loves Yuri Kulik. Yuri Kulik. Let's get an update on him. From the fact that you guys are planning on him, maybe from what Yarmo said, being a part of the organization, still on the ice this year, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, this happens with a lot of guys. If they're out of the lineup for a little time, you forget about it.
Yeah.
When you've got guys like Oslin, who didn't play a full season last year, Lenius, who really just played in the playoffs for the most part, and then you got Kulik coming back, and I think people forget at one point in time, Kulik was our number one center.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, we have high expectations for what he's capable of doing, and I know Yarmo loves him, and it's going to be interesting to see him on the ice. And what I like to see are the different combinations. We haven't talked about Lindy at all.
Yeah,
I mean, that's if we're going to talk about the success of the team, it's his second season. His first season, he kind of came in late. Kind of hard to put your stamp on the team. He's getting to know the guys and trying to determine how to use them. And then your second season, you really see things kind of kick in. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I talked to Lindy last summer because we were putting in a lot of changes. We were kind of going through what works and what doesn't work and what we needed to do. And pretty much anything Lindy told us was going to happen, happened. this guy obviously knows hockey inside.
Did you know him when you were here in the early 2000s with the Bills?
No, I did not.
It was different ownership, I get it.
No, I did not. But he's just a great guy. He's a great guy to be around. Yeah. Players love him. Everybody inside the building loves him. It takes a village, right? He's one of those guys that can galvanize everybody and get everybody on the same page. And I'm not just talking hockey, the entire building, just because of the way he carries himself. So he's an unbelievable asset to the organization. And, if you're going to say, hey, where's a lot of the responsibility lie for the success last year? You got to give it to him.
I don't know if there is anybody more Buffalo who is not from Buffalo than Lindy Ruff. I think that he might literally be as Buffalo as you can.
I can tell you again, from having the conversations, he wanted the turnaround more than anybody. He wants to win more than anybody, and he wants to do it for Buffalo.
Yeah.
And that's what's really special about it. It's a great place. It means more to people like Lindy who really consider themselves a Buffalonian. He wants to do it for the market.
And people want it for Lindy. Something popped into my head because we were talking about Yuri Kulik and Noah Oslin, and believe it or not, my brain works. These guys are not from the United States. I thought about international, and it got me to football. The international series. Right? The Bills could be up next soon to play an international game. Mm-hmm. How do the rules work? Where does that stand?
I don't think we have to play necessarily next year, but the league, they reach out every year.
Okay.
And we start that dialogue early. We'll probably start it in the next month, and we'll get a better sense of what the likelihood would be. I mean, again, it wouldn't surprise me just from a rotational perspective where that works, but we'll start having that dialogue in the next month. And, I would probably think pretty early this season, I'll have a good indication of what's going to happen.
Does Canada qualify as international?
And what it does is part of the global markets program, but not necessarily for a game.
Okay.
Right now, I mean, I get asked that question a lot. I don't know when that could potentially happen, but and then obviously you're working through PSL contracts, et cetera. We'd love to do something up there. If you're going to really put a stake in the ground in a market like Canada, you've got to be there. But it could be a game, but it could be a practice, right? It could be, something during the off season. Maybe that's a little bit different that they haven't seen before. I can tell you it's an important market to us. When you've got a market like Buffalo, it's a little bit smaller in size, but you have the fourth or fifth largest market in North America. That's really, part of the global markets program, part of our home marketing area. You'd be crazy not to pursue it. And we've done some things in the past, but I think, Bills as an organization is in a much stronger position. And I think we're a lot better strategically to take advantage of it now. So we're already doing a lot up there, but we'll continue to grow that.
Okay.
I just have one more question. And I think it's a good way to kind of start to wrap this up. You're not an outsider. You're from Rochester, right? You were here, you left, you came back. What do these teams mean to you? because I know they mean so much to so many people, right? That is why there are so many people who are fans of both the Bills and the Sabres. What do they mean to you, and how badly do you want to succeed for not just yourself, but for the community?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I started my sports career and I loved being in Buffalo, and I left just because there was this incredible opportunity in Charlotte. It was almost a blank slate. MJ had bought the team. You get to go work for the GOAT and really help him grow a brand down there and try to do something special. Spent 10 years there, and that's almost like grad school for sports marketing. You know, the NBA was a little bit of a challenger brand, and if you could dream it up, you probably could execute it. And working with him, you know, you've got that intersection of sports entertainment. It was really cool. And then to go to New York, which is phenomenal, and it's the biggest market in the country, and you know, the Giants have this incredible brand. And I've never... I don't talk about dream jobs because I think your dream job, wherever you are, you need to make that your dream job. Like, that's the advice I give to people. But if there was one, this is it. I just never really knew it would happen. So, you know, when you get that call and you get the opportunity to come back and you start thinking about, wait a minute, I get to go home and do this. And we've got a hockey team to turn around and we're building a new stadium. And you're helping to create a legacy for, you know, Tim and or Kim and Terry and do something special in the market. Yeah, it means a lot. It's very personal.
Yeah.
You know, you get up every day and you try to attack it. It's funny, like the people that you see from a fan perspective, it's personal to them, which is, again, why it's great. Everybody has opinions and it's because they care.
Yeah.
But, you know, we care just as much. We get up every single day and, you know, with one goal in mind, and we're just going to keep doing it. But there's a lot of different level of energy, I think, you know, when you're from here and you know you want to do something special that's meaningful for a market like Buffalo and Western New York, for that matter. It's pretty cool.
I mean, I think the three of us are all living our dream jobs. I mean, you're on TV covering Buffalo sports. I'm on radio covering Buffalo sports. It's what I always wanted to do since I was a kid. But things changed as you came back. Now it is one ownership group. There are two organizations. What's life like for Pete Guelly every day when you have to think about the Bills and think about the Sabres and think about a stadium and think about an arena? And sometimes those things cross over when you have an outdoor game. But I mean, especially now when things start to intersect in October, November, what's it like for you?
Well, I mean, first, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and say, hey, did you take a vacation over the summer? I said, I guess this is my vacation, you know, coming to camp. It's just, you can't, there's just too much going on, but I love it. It's great. I think having Terry and Kim own these two teams, especially in a smaller market, it's a great opportunity to kind of leverage both of them, right? And find best practices across both. And, you know, where are the synergies and how do we potentially work through those? There's no time off, but it's okay. Everything is going really well. We're excited. Again, we have this one goal for both teams that we're trying to achieve, and you're energized every day to go after it. So at first I tried to attack it with probably a little bit more discipline. You know, I was doing Mondays and Wednesdays with the Bills and Tuesdays and Thursdays with the Sabres. Friday was a swing day and weekends were in play.
Sure.
Now I would say it's more of a blend. You know, we've built the leadership teams out for both organizations.
Yeah.
So you can kind of step back and say, all right, strategically, here's what we're doing at both places. Mm-hmm. But if something comes up on the Bills front, I'm going to deal with it. If something comes up on the Sabres front, you know, I have to deal with it, you know, in real time. But I can tell you what, I really enjoy it. It's been amazing working for this ownership group. I think the way Terry has kind of set it up with Brandon and Yarmo, you know, we've got really kind of three people that are making most of the high level decisions. We get along really well. We work closely together. We're in constant contact. I think it's a really good setup. You know, I think it's the way teams, in my experience, should be set up. If you're going to try to maximize success, you need to be aligned across the board. I say it all the time, like, you know, alignment doesn't guarantee success, but lack of alignment guarantees failure. And I can tell you one thing, we are aligned. Everybody's on the same page. We're all working for the same goal, and you know, it's going to put us in a better position, I think, to achieve it.
You got anything else?
Yeah. I want to ask you, I know like Kroenke owns organizations in different sports.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another one of you in the dealing with, like, when you go to the NHL presidents and owners meetings, mm-hmm. you go to the NFL owners meetings, or is there another Pete Guelly that's in all these? Yeah,
well, I hope not another Pete Guelly, but there's a handful of
people
that do it. Yeah, I mean, that's a good example. Kevin Demoff for Kroenke Sports has more properties than I have. And I talk to him all the time. Like, Kevin, how do you balance this? And how do you prioritize your day? And how do you work? But there's a number of guys that do it. Not a ton, you know, but there's a handful of people that have done it. Again, it's just about, it's really about your team. I'm not doing everything. Like, we got great people across this organization in every single discipline. That was what was cool was when I came in, you're evaluating the franchise. You're like, you know what? There's some jobs that are open that you could fill. Maybe there's some things you change. But what I found out, there's a lot of really good people. and just helping them kind of understand what the vision is, creating a little bit of direction, and then taking the handcuffs off and letting them go and see what they're capable of doing. It's been a fun process to be a part of, but we have really good people, and that's what really makes it work.
Well, let me ask you then. You've spent plenty of time in the NBA. You're in the NHL. You're in the NFL. Is it more different than people would think, or is it more similar than people would think?
It's pretty similar. I mean, if you think about it, all the business verticals are the same. All the different disciplines are the same. Like they're relatively similar as far as the different areas. You have all the same departments.
Right.
The product's different. When you look at it from an NHL perspective, you've got a property. You know, you not only have all the hockey games, and we've got the Bandits and events coming in there. So, you know, concerts, it's more of a property, where the NFL used to be more of a brand, and now it's transitioning into a brand / property. But it's pretty similar. It's just, you know, scale's a little bit different. But a lot of the things that you do, you can do kind of across all the organizations.
I always tell people, you know, they ask you like, hey, are you nervous when you start this job? You start interacting with some of these professional athletes. Take some getting used to. Were you nervous the first time you met Michael Jordan? I think he would be the guy to me, that I would be like, I don't know how I would do this.
Probably the only time, really, been nervous with him. Yeah, he's an intimidating guy. You know, there's no way to hide it. He's the best at what he's ever done, and obviously, you know how he operates.
Michael Jordan.
He's incredibly competitive. Yeah. I know. But, you know, it was great. Once you get to know him, he's a lot like anybody else that you've dealt with. It's different. It's hard to go out in public with him and do anything. But when behind the scenes, he's like having a conversation like this. And once you kind of get comfortable, then it could be a really interesting, cool dynamic, because you're getting the real MJ. You know, and he's telling you exactly what he thinks. And then you're able to give him feedback and you're comfortable with him.
Uh-huh.
And you can do some things that are really unique. Working closely with him when we transitioned from the Bobcats back to the Hornets.
Yeah.
Because not only is he the greatest player of all time, he's a brand guy, right? He's created the Jordan brand, this multi-billion-dollar brand. He's the face of it. So he had thoughts, you know, on what we could do. And then I had thoughts based on my perspective.
Yeah.
And if you're not comfortable, tell him the truth.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to go well either. So, you know, it didn't take long, honestly.
Yeah.
Like initially, you got in there. He's a super intimidating, competitive guy. But once you get to know him, he was great to work for. Obviously one of the best bosses I've ever had.
You ever play golf with him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, yeah.
It did not go well. It did not go well for me. So even if you can play well, you're going to start hitting it sideways at some point. Because the guy, he's very good golfer. He's a very good golfer. And he knows exactly what to say, and he knows exactly when to say it. And so he's tough to play with, but, you know, he also signed my paycheck, so he knew what I could afford.
I remember a couple of years ago when I first saw Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter down on the sidelines and went up to him and met him and talked to you about it. And you said, Sal, we're just getting started with this stuff. And this is the crossover that you had with a lot of these different relationships. So just kind of tell us about cross-populating that with some of these big stars and getting them involved and what it means for them to be a part of it and all these other people coming into these organizations.
Yeah, I mean, it's an example of how the Bills brand has grown, right?
Yeah.
It's transcended the market in a lot of ways. Again, we don't want to forget about Buffalo, but, you know, when we're on national television, we're getting some of the biggest ratings in the country, and it's consistent. Doesn't matter who we're playing. So it's about the Bills. So it's only a matter of time, right, before you start to gravitate towards some of these potential athletes and maybe entertainers and other opportunities. And this is a step. We've had a great experience. We decided to go down a limited partner route. What is it? Maybe almost 2 years ago now. You got to find the right people. But bringing those guys in are great. Now, they understand the business. They can be an asset on the football side because of the experience they have. They can be an asset from a business perspective. They both happen to play in Toronto, for instance. Josie Altidore is another one. He's actually going to be here tomorrow. So it's been a really, really good experience. And at some point in time, I wouldn't be surprised if we expanded on it. I don't think we're in any hurry. You know, you want to make sure you've got the right partners if you're going to do something like this. And, you know, they have to have the same priorities as you do. And, you know, also, you know, we're the experts in what we do. So we want to run it with their input. Some people are comfortable with that process. Some people are not. Those guys are, you know, and they've been great partners so far. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that continued to grow. And I think you're seeing a lot of teams do it.
You think you'll be emotional going to the stadium for the first time, for like the first real game? I know that you've been there probably more than anybody.
I'm just being honest. I probably will not. It's so business. When I came back for the first game in Buffalo, literally somebody grabbed me on the side, like, you know, you're back. Like, how are you feeling? I never even thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what we have to do, to continue to make sure that everything is working. Maybe after the game.
Yeah.
You know, step back and reflect on it a little bit. When you go in there, though, it's all business. And fortunately, we have four opportunities again to go in and kind of figure out exactly what that's going to look like. And then when you get down there, you're just focused on it. And then once the game starts, Only thing you care about is winning. That's the only thing that crosses your mind. And then I'll get all the feedback after the game.
Sure.
We'll work through it, and then we'll reflect a little bit on it. And probably at that point in time, you know, it'll be like, wow, what just happened?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I mean, if there's anything that we, I don't know if we already left any meat on the bone, but if there's anything you want to
I'm just excited that this was a real podcast. I didn't even know until I saw the intro that you guys actually invest in, you know.
There's a producer, too. This is legit.
It really is.
Let these two idiots just like, talk about the Bills.
I didn't know. I didn't know if somebody's in your basement. I wasn't really sure.
Hey, listen, you know, people accuse us of that, but we go on location. We have a good time with people. We have a good time with it, but I mean, to have you on for a full hour, look at that. We just crossed an hour.
Yeah, we very much appreciate
it. Didn't feel like it.
No, I appreciate it.
Felt like 55 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That was great. And of course, I mean, you know, Pete's accessible. You're on social media. And as you know, you get the feedback from fans and things like that. And, you know, you go on these platforms and you're there to tell people about what's happening with the organization. So, you know, when there's stuff out there that people want to know, I mean,
I don't respond because I just can't,
right.
But I'm listening. We're right. always listening. And I've got people on my staff that are auditing everything that we're doing on social and looking at my stuff. So, you know, we're always paying attention, you know, I mean, you see some interesting things.
I get it.
It's part of the job. You know what you signed up for. And again, everybody has an opinion on this stuff and I respect it. So, you know, when people reach out and they tell me what they think, we're open to it. Can't do everything. But we're always listening.
Before we wrap up, Return of the Blue and Red on Saturday. What do people need to know about going to the stadium? First time there, maybe for a lot of people. First time you're going to have this many people there. Anything they need to know before they go?
Yeah, well, they need to go to our website and just make sure they feel comfortable with everything that comes with being a PSL holder. And if they have any questions, we've got a customer service team ready to do it. But it's going to be a process. I know I'm going to get feedback from people after the game. Hey, I see a bolt over here or there's a wire over here that maybe I missed. But, you know, we're gonna get through that. Again, having those four opportunities, we're hoping it's going to be as perfect as it can by the time we get to the first game. I'm hoping people are going to enjoy it and be a little patient because it's going to be a learning process for everybody.
That first game you can watch on WKBW.
Look at this guy.
How about
always
that?
Always promoting the brand.
That's a nice plug.
At Sal Sports on YouTube. That's where you subscribe and watch the podcast. And, of course, at Matt_Bove at Sal Sports on social on X. We thank Pete Gwelly, President of Business Operations for the Bills and the Sabres. Our producer is Mike Robbie. Thanks a lot to the Bills PR team for helping us out today and setting us up here for a full hour with the Buffalo Bills president. Make sure you keep it right here to It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.